Here's a good question this morning. We're going to explore an issue that's been kicking around American politics, really, since the double whammy of the fiasco of the 2000 presidential election, which you'll recall was sort of stalled on chaffs and other problems in Florida there as the federal government was unable to resolve the presidential election in 2000. And then, of course, the 9/11 incidents produced a whole new notion of security in America involving photo IDs and the need to have photo IDs to virtually get into any secure building in Washington, D.C., let alone major cities around the U.S. That double whammy has produced a debate about whether photo IDs should be required at the polling station. And Dr. Robert Pastor joins us now, director of the Center for Democracy and Election Management at the American University in Washington, where he is professor of international relations. Dr. Pastor, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, John.
So with that sort of historical frame to begin, we're starting to get actual empirical data on the states that actually require or sort of are beginning to require photo IDs at the polling station. And we're starting to see how a photo ID and the requirement of a photo ID is affecting voter behavior. What have you learned?
What we have learned from three random surveys of registered voters in states of Indiana, Maryland, and Mississippi was that it's really not a problem. Based on these random surveys, about 1% of registered voters do not have photo IDs. Therefore, the percentage of people that might be affected at the polling places is quite small. And therefore, that doesn't seem to be a problem. There's also very little evidence of multiple voting or voting by people who are undocumented. There is some, but not very much. And therefore, the fears that have driven Republicans to insist on photo IDs don't seem to be well-founded. And the fears that have driven Democrats to oppose photo IDs for fear that it might disenfranchise voters also don't seem to be well-founded.
So do you think having a photo ID is a useful innovation for the election process, or is it simply a consequence of our post-9/11 society where there's a proliferation of photo IDs and it's not having much of an impact? It's not cumbersome or an obstacle in any way?
I think the fears that each party have are quite real, and they need to be addressed. And it's also clear from surveys that we took there that two-thirds of the registered voters feel that they ought to be asked for a photo ID. And that's not unusual. Most countries in the world ask for photo IDs when people vote. I think everything depends on the nature of the law on photo IDs. Many of the laws that have been put in place have been designed in ways that could create problems at the polling places. There are other ways to do photo IDs that would both increase confidence in the electoral process and also increase participation. But so far, most states have not employed these broader techniques.
We're speaking with Dr. Robert Pastor of the Center for Democracy and Election Management at the American University. And Doctor, I wanted to ask you about exactly how you would implement such a system, because from what I've read, the people's analysis of what it would cost in order to make sure that we have enough locations that there's legal access, if that's a requirement for voting, that there's a no charge to getting a photo ID, because that would also be a limit on voting. That, in fact, to address the extraordinarily small percentage of people who don't have photo IDs, it would actually be very expensive.
I don't believe so. There's two different ways to approach it. One would be a minimal way, and this was recommended by a commission that I was the director of that was chaired by Jimmy Carter and Jim Baker. And that said that in addition to requiring a photo ID, that states play an affirmative role to reach out to those communities that are least likely to have photo IDs and give them to them free, and also send mobile units to approach people. And that could be done relatively inexpensively. Another approach would
be
universal.
Let's just stop for 1 second. The issue there is if it costs money to get an ID, it's the equivalent of a poll tax. And so certain groups would necessarily be disenfranchised, and it's actually unconstitutional to force people to pay to vote, correct?
That's right. But,
okay.
But if you give the ID free to people, that's a cost to the state, and it's a very, very trivial cost, actually, rather than to individuals.
Got it. And what other, you started to mention other ideas that would affirmatively make sure that photo IDs get into the hands of people.
Well, there is an associated problem with these state ID laws, and that is that there are very different IDs that are required in each state. Sometimes it's a property tax. Sometimes it's a electrical bill, and that could be a source of discrimination. So the best way to avoid that would be to have a universal national identification card, which could serve other purposes besides just voting, as it does in most other countries. It could serve a purpose, for example, for employment to deal with the problem of undocumented workers. It could serve a purpose of security. It could also, believe it or not, lead to greater privacy guarantees,
right,
by allowing an ombudsman to assure that you have a certifiable and good fraud-proof identification system.
All right, the problem
with that is that would be very expensive, and that would take some time to do properly.
Well, let's talk about a couple of details of that. But first, starting with the 2/3 of people polled, according to your surveys at the polling site, have no problem with being asked for a photo ID. Let's ask listeners, what would you think about a national ID that might be used for various sort of civic purposes, including elections? And it would have to be free. It would come from the federal government, and it would be universal. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment to thetakeaway.org. What are the expenses, and would a constitutional amendment be required to make this a condition of voting in America, Dr. Robert Pastor?
It would not require a constitutional amendment, and it also should be limited in the way that it's used, so that it's used for the specific purposes in which it's designed, such as, for example, at the voting booth, or such as at the workplace when a person is first hired, or for very specific security purposes. It would be very expensive, but if it were joined with a national census, which occurs every 10 years, the overall expenses could be reduced significantly.
All right, Dr. Robert Pastor, Director of the Center for Democracy and Election Management at the American University, where he is a professor of international relations. He was also involved with the Carter-Baker panel and helped write a report detailing the causes and fixes of voter fraud in America. And as he reported on this program this morning, he saw no evidence that a lack of ID caused multiple voting at the polls, or that the use of an ID complicated voting in any way. Dr. Robert Pastor, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.